It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Coming at you every week to talk all the things that make us love sports. The games, the rivalries, and of course, the personalities.
The March. I almost said the March, man. I'm going to go to the Walmart.
I like indefinite articles, okay?
Can we just start over?
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast, where we are recognizing the fact that as of this recording, there are only 48 days left until Christmas. Did you know that, Darren?
I did not. And I feel like I should stop this recording immediately and start shopping on Amazon. I think that's I already feel behind now.
But be very careful, my friend, because the holiday police are out. The people that, you know, tell you when you can celebrate which holiday, when you can start decorating, and everyone has an opinion that they make their opinion known. It's just kind of like how we talk about the officiating after games.
That's right.
We talk about other coaches, plays, all the stuff that we're going to basically do in this episode.
I think to protest the holiday police, my family, we're going to decorate our house tomorrow for 4th of July and leave it through the end of the year. I think that's what we're going to do to protest. So.
And Darren, that doesn't bother me one bit because it's your house. If you want to decorate for July 4th in December or November or October, go for it.
That's right. Just like it doesn't bother me that you've had snowmen up since at least, what, October 15th? Right? Is that right?
No. We wait till the day after Halloween.
Oh, okay. So November 1, that's when you hit it running. Yep. There's nothing
that's,
wrong
that's
with
kind of how we do things in our house. Everybody's a little different. That's fine. Well, let's get right into it with not really the theme of Halloween, but some more scary news out of Michigan, believe it or not. Can you believe this?
I'm stunned. They do things so clear and clean there. It's really surprising. What's going on now?
Wolverine fans are digging their heels in, though. I mean, they're threatening, the school's threatening legal action. If there's punishment toward the team, the program, Coach Harbaugh. Today, the Big Ten served them a notice, a possibility that disciplinary action is coming. Really? Now, that's going to be somewhat limited, Darren. The Big Ten commissioner does not have the power to levy certain punishments as the NCAA does.
Right.
So we may be looking at most a two-game suspension for Jim Harbaugh, maybe a fine of around $10,000. Which one of their boosters probably has it in their pocket right now. So we'll be monitoring this. Michigan has already come out with a statement saying that they're going to exercise every legal option and fight this. So this could get nasty, and the NCAA still is not yet involved. They're going to be behind all of this, and we'll see how it all plays out. So, well, going to another part of the country, the great state of Texas, news came out that starting quarterback Quinn Ewers is now day-to-day with the possibility of playing this Saturday against TCU.
And you know what? Good for him. He had injuries last year. He's had injury problems this year. Hopefully this is at a point in the season where it whatever it is won't be nagging. He'll be healthy, and he'll be able to in a healthy way, being the competitor that we expect and have seen of him, be able to complete the season. Hopefully so.
I hope so. He had a great start to the season until this injury. Hopefully he can bounce back from that.
Yeah.
In unfootball related news, college basketball is back.
Yes, it is.
And for those of us who are LSU fans who are still kind of smarting over Saturday's result in football, we're excited about the women's basketball team coming back.
That's right. And for those of us that are Vanderbilt fans that are smarting over the entire season, we're excited about any basketball coming back. It's just as long as it's not football. I think the fall baseball game was close to a sellout at Vanderbilt. People just want anything but football. So,
speaking of Vanderbilt fans, Darren, I've found one that is an even bigger Vanderbilt fan than you are. And that is comedian Nate Bargatze, who hosted College Game Day this past Saturday. I've got to ask you, Darren, what did you think?
Well, number one, I give him props. You know that the only reason that they, the entire game day crew picked the Vanderbilt Auburn game was because Nate Bargatze was there. So you know that was the case. Number two, let me make sure I can get it in here right. I give him props for getting the VU in there at the very end. That was absolutely nice. Awesome. I appreciate him being such a fan that he picked Vanderbilt to beat Auburn and went out. But that might have been overzealous a little bit there. I wish he maybe would have rethought that. But to me, I've known about Nate Bargatze for a long time because he was a Vanderbilt fan. But people are starting to really, I mean, he's selling out arenas now, hosting SNL, guest picker on game day. People are really starting to learn about Nate Bargatze, and I am super excited about that because he is beyond funny. His stand-up is great. His weekly podcast is great. And it truly is. The thing I love most about him is it's something, whether it be his stand-up, whether it be his podcast, anything he does, you can listen to it when you're driving down the road in your car, and it doesn't matter if you're in the car with your grandchildren or your grandmother. You know, nobody's going to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to be he's just good, clean, fun. And I absolutely love it. And it's super exciting, even more exciting because he's a Vanderbilt fan that he's taking off the way he is right now. It's really exciting.
I heard you say you've known of him for a long time because he's a Vanderbilt fan. You guys must have a very small, close-knit community.
Well, when somebody outside of the Nashville area as a local sportscaster is a Vanderbilt fan and has some fame, it gets some attention in Vanderbilt world. The Vanderbilt two claims to fame are famous people that like them are Nate Bargatze and I think it's the guy's name, Willie. Oh, man, I think it's Willie Geist that hosts like the Sunday Today Show on NBC. He's a big Vanderbilt fan and a Vanderbilt alumni. So that's, you know, we latch onto that quick. We don't get much of that.
I typically on Saturdays watch SEC Nation and I switch over to game day to watch the picks. And so when I listen and to Nate Bargatze, I was thinking about you the whole time, Darren.
It was very exciting because it may honestly be the only time ever somebody that has a Vanderbilt representation is the guest picker on game day. So it was an exciting moment for sure.
Let's take a look at the AP Top 25 for this week. Georgia remains at number one, Texas at number seven, Alabama at number eight, Ole Miss at number 10, Tennessee at 14 after a big win over Connecticut. Which we learned nothing about them.
Exactly.
The Missouri Tigers, who had a very respectable showing in Athens, are holding at 16. Oklahoma coming off of the loss in Bedlam is at 17. And LSU coming off the loss to Alabama is at number 18. Those are your SEC top 25 teams for week 10. Now, let's talk about some of our takeaways from last weekend, Darren. What's the first one that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I have to talk about KJ Jefferson, the difference, what a difference a week makes. You know, he has suffered. I mean, bless his soul. He has suffered in the Dan Enos system this entire season. And yes, I know they had 2 weeks and I understand that they had 2 weeks to prepare. But even with 2 weeks to prepare, you don't get the kind of change and difference that you saw doesn't just happen in 2 weeks. It also has to do with the changes that have been made. And to hear Kenny, I believe it's Guyton is the way you pronounce his last name. If not, I apologize, but I believe it's Kenny Guyton. To hear his description of what he wanted to do and Sam Pittman talk about it as well is simplify the playbook, get rid of a lot of the fluff stuff, and let's focus on what our guys do well. And they obviously focused on what KJ Jefferson did well. It was obviously incredible to have Rocket Sanders back and focused on what he did well because he had an incredible game. But the numbers to me that really tell the difference in having a system that wants to accentuate the talents of your stars versus not having that is very, very simple. KJ Jefferson threw one more pass. Threw the exact same amount of passes this week against Mississippi State or against Florida as he did last week against Mississippi State. He only had one more completion this week against Florida than he did against Mississippi State. The difference, though, 255 yards this week versus 97 yards last week. The difference is the system was set up to do what he is talented at doing. And the difference is that is more than double, almost triple the amount of yards. And setting up the system to allow him to also create lanes to be able to run and do what he does. Again, 92 yards versus 38 yards on one more carry. So he only carried the ball one more time. He only rushed one more time this week than last week and had over double the amount of rushing yards. System makes a dramatic difference. When you've got somebody that wants to say, what can you do well? Let's make this work. It makes all the difference in the world. And we saw that with KJ Jefferson this week. What a dramatic difference just 2 weeks of change makes. What's your second takeaway?
Night and day, night and day. That's a great one, Darren. My first one is I want to give a shout out to Cody Schrader from Missouri, who was at one point leading the SEC in rushing, going into Athens, Georgia, in a game where Brady Cook really did not have outstanding numbers, if you look at the stat sheet. But Cody Schrader ran 22 times for 112 yards and one touchdown. This Division II, once upon a time player who came to Missouri and walked on. I love the story that's continuing. He showed up again in their biggest game so far this year and played outstanding against an always very tough Georgia defense, which you know you're going to get from Kirby Smart. So shout out to Cody Schrader, who is thriving in the empire of Eli Drinkwitz.
Absolutely. That's a great take.
How about your second one?
My second one, I want to talk just strictly about coaching changes. Now, I'm specifically targeting A&M and Arkansas fans here, but I want to talk about the year, just very briefly, the year Jimbo was hired. There were 21 FBS coaching changes made that year. Of those 21 coaches that were hired that year, want to take a guess at how many are still coaching at the school they were hired for? The answer is two. Jimbo and Chip Kelly. Jimbo is averaging 7 wins a season. Chip Kelly is averaging 5 wins a season, but they are both still there. To me, one of the other interesting things, if you look at a couple of the coaches that were fired pretty quickly or relatively quickly that have the same record basically as Jimbo, but they're already gone. That same year, Joe Moorhead was hired at Mississippi State. During his 2 years, he averaged 7 wins a year, was fired after his second year. Dan Mullen was hired the same year at Florida, coached there for 4 years, averaged 8 wins a year, but was still fired after his fourth year, yet Jimbo is still in place with 7 wins, averaging 7 wins a year. So I find that interesting that coaches that were winning as much or more than he was on an average per year are already gone. Yet Jimbo is still there, winning on average 7 games a year. But the cautionary tale for Arkansas fans that are still running around screaming that Sam Pittman might not be the guy for the job, in 2018, there were 21 coaching changes made that were given high grades by places like Athlon Sports and CBS Sports. Can I read you a couple of those names? Chad Morris at Arkansas. Great hire. No. How about Herm Edwards at Arizona State? That was heralded as a great hire. Dan Mullen at Florida. We've already talked about that. Scott Frost at Nebraska was a hire that same year. So, in a cautionary tale that the grass may not always be greener, Arkansas fans, let's let the season play out. See what happens. it may not be the change that, or you might not need the change that you think you do. And to Texas A&M fans, I see your beef when anybody else that was hired that same year that basically has done the same kind of job Jimbo did has already been fired. So two pretty interesting sides of the coin found within the same stats. So just, it's a whole lot about coaching hires, but with what A&M and Arkansas are going through, felt like it was pretty interesting.
No doubt. Fascinating. Thank you for that research.
So what's your second takeaway, Ben?
Well, let me take a deep breath here because I've got a lot to say on this third takeaway.
Deal.
I'd like us to go back to the LSU-Alabama game Saturday night. I'll preface my comments by saying Nick Saban is the GOAT. Alabama deserved to win the game. Alabama played better than LSU. But there was a moment where the game completely changed. And I know this is a hot button issue because there's so many different opinions on exactly what happened. It was in the fourth quarter with about 11 minutes to play, where defensive lineman from Alabama, Dallas Turner, came and hit Jaden Daniels. It was a high hit. If you see his helmet goes up, you see Jaden Daniels' neck snap back. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, then he proceeded to drive Jaden Daniels into the turf. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels had to come out of the game, concussion protocol, return for one play. I'm not sure what that was about. I'm not sure why he was even out there. That shouldn't have happened. But somebody thought better of it and got him out of the game.
Right.
So he could get the appropriate medical attention. It was like the air just let out of everything. We were experiencing this tremendous game between quarterbacks that were playing at a high level. Jalen Milroe,
man,
running the ball, LSU couldn't stop him.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, on the other hand, their statistics were very similar for the game. Although Milroe did not throw a single touchdown pass, he ran for all the scores. Jaden Daniels was responsible for 382 yards of total offense at the point where he was injured. Now, you want players to play hard and you want them to play tough. And we recognize that football is a violent sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some questions about the hit that Dallas Turner made on Jaden Daniels. Now, Nick Saban came out today and said he thought it was a good hit. And others have backed that up. Paul Feinbaum was one of them. I don't know how you can call that a good hit when you look at the video over and over and over. I understand Coach Saban's going to defend his players.
Right, absolutely.
However, I will not call it a dirty hit because dirty hit implies malice. You're judging mm-hmm. intent. And I don't know what the intent was of Dallas Turner other than to make a play. Regardless, let's say he was just coming in to make a hard tackle, hit the quarterback. It wasn't a legal hit.
Mm-hmm.
Why targeting was not called is a puzzle to me. I don't understand that. I know that Brian Kelly said today they have submitted it to the league office because you want your quarterback to be protected. Now, I like hard hits as much as anybody. I love the Steelers teams of the 70s, and you look mm-hmm. at Jack Lambert, Mean Joe Green, but the game is different now, and there are different rules in play. And so what I saw in that moment was an illegal hit, and I hated it because when you play a team, you want to beat that team at full strength. You don't want their best player to be injured. I heard someone today say it wouldn't have made a difference. I beg to differ. Jaden Daniels led a touchdown drive with a little over a minute left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, look at the scoring in that game. In the first quarter, Alabama scored 14, LSU scored 7. In the second quarter, LSU scored 14, Alabama scored 7. In the third quarter, Alabama scored 14, LSU scored 7. Do we see a pattern here?
Exactly.
And with 11 minutes left to go in the game, Jaden Daniels is knocked out. LSU doesn't score in the fourth quarter. Alabama scores 7. So I'm very concerned about what happened. And it also concerns me because when you look at Dallas Turner, there is a history here. We can go back to the Texas game. Go back and judge for yourself. Watch the video of when he hit Quinn Ewers that knocked Ewers out of the game. A very, very close game. Go back also to the Ole Miss game last year where he ripped the face mask, the helmet off of Jackson Dart. And then in another play after hitting Dart, as he gets up, he forcefully uses both hands and pushes the back of Jackson Dart's helmet so his face mask goes into the turf. There are concerns I have about some of the things that are going on. I don't know Dallas Turner. I don't know his intent. I fully expect Alabama fans to defend him. I expect Saban to defend him. But I think we expect more in the day of instant replay, targeting, the emphasis on player safety, that certain measures will be taken. So illegal hits and conduct that is not conducive to good sportsmanship in the game, that those things don't happen. So I was very disappointed about that. Again, Alabama deserved to win. They played better. Kudos to them. But this kind of these hits, I don't see a place for them, Darren.
And the thing about it is, let's assume that it wasn't a dirty hit, that there was no intent to hurt. Let's just make that assumption just strictly on this hit. It's you have to approach it the same way you do when they call it the Brady rule in the NFL. When Tom Brady gets hurt because he gets hit at the knees, and that becomes an illegal hit. Not necessarily a dirty play when you hit a quarterback at the knees, but an illegal hit. And everyone on the defense had to learn, I can't hit a quarterback like that. Well, it's been pretty established for a long, long time that helmet-to-helmet contact or helmet-to-neck and head area contact is no longer allowed. And grabbing a quarterback and driving them into the ground with your full weight is not allowed. Both of those things are illegal, and therefore, regardless of intent, regardless of the game, regardless of the game situation, it's a clear this is what should happen, and none of it did. It really is kind of mind-blowing that it just – everybody just moved on. You know, like, oh, well, boy, I hate that he got hurt and just move on. It didn't make any sense to me just even sitting there watching it. I didn't understand. Regardless of intent, it was, as you said, an illegal hit and absolutely nothing happened.
Yeah. And people move on because it doesn't fit the narrative that they want.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's a great point.
Got a special treat today. We are starting a new segment here on the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast where we are bringing in Doug the Buckeye. He's a Big Ten apologist, a huge Ohio State fan, and we're going to have him on weekly. His segment will actually start airing on Wednesdays starting next week, but today we're including him in this episode because he's going to tell us why we should respect the Big Ten more, which you and I, Darren, we struggled to do that at all.
I tried to keep a straight face.
let's take a listen to Doug the Buckeye.
Hey there, this is Doug coming to you from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You can call me Doug the Buckeye. Thankful to Ben and Darren for inviting me to be on the program, talk about the Big Ten. A word from the Big Ten apologist, that would be me today. So excited to talk to you guys today about the Big Ten. Ben and I go way back, probably 30-something years, to colleges that we went to. So I'm excited to link back up with you guys. The Big Ten. Way back when I was growing up, the Big Ten was known for its low-scoring games, lots of defense, and not a lot of offense. What's happened here lately is the Big Ten has gotten better a lot as terms of getting more offense. So what you're seeing nowadays is a lot more of the SEC style football than what we've seen from the Big Ten in the past. It's not your grandfather's and your dad's Big Ten anymore. We're seeing high power offenses. So it's good to see Michigan and Ohio State in the rankings. Ohio State jumped to number one, put a target on their back, and that makes it a little bit more challenging for every game. But something I want to point out as far as the Big Ten being deserving of having two teams in the playoff conference or playoff series is there are nine teams with over 900 wins, and four of those teams are Big Ten. You got Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Nebraska. The Big Ten is consistently has one to three, sometimes even four teams that are consistently ranked in the top 10. You see that a little bit with SEC, but the Big Ten always has one to four teams. Right now, we've got three teams in the top 10, same as SEC, but our teams are 26 and one. SEC is like 25 and two. So we're a little bit stronger than the SEC. We should not be giving. I think the Big Ten should have a chance, even in the big game, the Ohio State Michigan game. That's one of the biggest rivalries in all of college football, one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports. And it would do a disservice to put the loser of that game out of playoff contention, out of playoff conversation. Because ultimately, what we need in these championship games and these championship playoffs are the teams that are the best team in the country. You look at some of these other conferences that aren't as strong, you pull a team in that's probably not in the same caliber. Yeah, they may have fewer losses. Yeah, they may go undefeated. But can they compete with these teams that are perennial powerhouses, like the Alabamas, like the Georgias, like Michigan, like Ohio State? And for the record, as of today or as of a couple of days ago, Ohio State has the highest winning percentage of all teams at 73.4, trailing Michigan by 73.3 winning percentage. So, all that to say, I'm a Buckeye. I've been a Buckeye my whole life. Went to school there. So, I'm a little bit biased. But the Big Ten always has good teams that perform and should compete at this level. Hopefully, we'll get to see two of them go after it again, even after November 18th, after the game. Hope you guys are doing great. Thanks for having me on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Doug the Buckeye. Yes. Appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to these segments every week.
Absolutely.
As we listen to Doug, the Big Ten apologist, we've got some things to say about what you said, yeah. Doug, and we're going to give you a chance next week to respond. But a little bit biased, that may be a little...
little.
Not sure how accurate that is, Doug. So, Darren, some things that stuck out to me. High-powered offense. Doug, are you watching Iowa? Purdue? Indiana? Minnesota? Wisconsin?
I think you meant stronger than high-powered special teams, I think is what he meant.
Stronger than the SEC.
Doug,
that missed field goal against Georgia last year is still hurting, isn't it?
Exactly. That one's going to sting. Then, he's going to feel that one.
I'm sure we'll hear about that next week.
I'm sure.
And how about the preemptive strike saying that the loser of the Ohio State Michigan game should not be eliminated from playoff contention? What do you think, Darren?
That sounds very, very similar to the years that when the SEC championship comes down to an LSU Alabama or a Georgia Alabama, or that the same thing is could be said. So it sounds very, very similar. But I also would say, don't know that you have as strong of an argument as a Big Ten apologist you might think it is. Is that a fair? Because I just don't the winner of that game is clearly the dominant force in the conference. But I don't know that you can make the argument. I don't see how you can make the argument that the loser of that game has still somehow in this upper echelon, especially if you've got other undefeated teams or one loss teams that are from other strong conferences. I don't see how you can make that argument, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the winning percentages, of course, Ohio State has a rich history tradition, as does Michigan. And you could argue Penn State to a lesser degree. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But really what it comes down to is who you have playing for the national championship. When's the last time a Big Ten team won the national championship? Those exactly. are the questions. And that's where the SEC has remained dominant in a conference where they basically beat each other up throughout the season. Mm-hmm. You'll have a team or two emerge, and that's where they've been dominating in those national championship games. Just ask TCU from last year.
That's right.
So thank you for coming on and doing that.
Absolutely.
I love the statistics, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about what we just said about your video.
Absolutely.
Let's get into our picks for this week. The number 8th ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, coming off of the big win over the LSU Tigers, travels to Lexington, Kentucky for an early game. Some people believe this is a trap game, Darren. Is Alabama in trouble? Does Kentucky have a legitimate chance here? What's your take?
I think it has all the makings of a trap game with one glaring exception. I think even with the trap game set up, I don't think Kentucky has the talent or the ability to. I don't think their defense can stop Jalen Milroe. And I don't. Yeah, I said that right. And I don't think their offense can do anything against this Alabama defense because they don't have anybody like a Jaden Daniels. I think that their running game could potentially have a decent day. Ray Davis. But I still think even with him having a good day against Alabama, he's probably going to get 70 to 80 yards the most, and it's just not going to be enough. I think Alabama definitely wins this. What about you, Ben?
I would guess this game will be tight in the first quarter, maybe in mm-hmm. the first half. But I think Alabama will wear down Kentucky. Crimson Tide will win. The Vanderbilt Commodores are traveling to South Carolina to face the South Carolina Gamecocks. Head coach Shane Beamer said this week he's got to do a much better job coaching. Is he going to do that in this game, the South Carolina win?
Well, I think, honestly, Vanderbilt gets off the bus in Columbia, and I don't think South Carolina has to field a team. Vanderbilt can't win in Columbia. I admire Nate Bargatze's resolve and zeal to say we're going to win out, but I'm just not there. It would be a miracle of all miracles, even with as bad as this South Carolina team is. I mean, Vanderbilt lost to South Carolina in Columbia the year that they had won. If any games, maybe one, maybe two, and Steve Spurrier was run out of town before the season was over with. They were the game after Steve Spurrier stepped down and still couldn't beat South Carolina in Columbia. It just doesn't happen. South Carolina wins. How about you, Ben?
I can hear Clark Lee channeling his inner Dabo saying, "You are part of the problem."
He might not be wrong, but anyway.
I agree. I think South Carolina wins. The 14th ranked Tennessee Volunteers are traveling up to Missouri to face the 16th ranked Missouri Tigers, coming off a hard fought loss against Georgia. Brady Cook, Luther Burden, Cody Schrader, they are all playing at a high level. Is that going to be enough to knock off Tennessee? What do you think, Darren?
I think the offenses are going to be very similar in their stats for the day. I think Missouri will have a strong running attack. We'll take the top off the defense when needed. Have a nice day running and in the air. And I think Tennessee will probably do the same thing. So the question becomes, which defense can hamper the other offense enough to get a stop when needed and make the difference in the game? And I'm going to trust Missouri to affect Joe Milton before I trust Tennessee to affect Brady Cook. So I'm calling the upset in this one. I think Missouri, because it is in Missouri, I think I would flip it, truthfully, if it were in Knoxville and Missouri had to go to Neyland. But because it's in Missouri, I'm going to call the upset on this one. I think Missouri wins this game. How about you, Ben?
My sentiments exactly. If this game is played in Knoxville, I'm choosing Tennessee. Because it's at Missouri, I'm going to go with the Tigers here. Missouri wins.
Excellent.
The Auburn Tigers, looking to become bowl eligible in Hugh Freeze's first season, travel to Fayetteville to face the suddenly wide awake, reawakened Arkansas Razorbacks. As you mentioned, KJ Jefferson, Rocket Sanders, they were cooking Saturday. Yep. It seems that things are trending in an upward direction, but Hugh Freeze may have something to say about this. An intriguing matchup on paper, Darren. Who do you like in this one?
I tell you, you watch the game between Auburn and Vanderbilt on Saturday, and Auburn wanted Vanderbilt to win worse than Vanderbilt wanted Vanderbilt to win. They tried several times to leave the door open to make just unreal mistakes, like the pick six where the Auburn quarterback just, I mean, he threw it straight to the Vanderbilt guy. I mean, it was an absolute perfect shot just to the wrong guy. And they did things like that throughout the game. And Vanderbilt just didn't have enough talent or scheme, truthfully, to be able to capitalize on that. And I think this new Arkansas that we're seeing absolutely can. I think it will be a close game at times, but Auburn will eliminate Arkansas will eliminate the mistakes that Auburn can't, and this is an Arkansas win. How about you, Ben?
Let's go, Arkansas. Come on, Razorbacks all the way. Look, come on, do it with me. Let's call those hogs.
We messed it up.
But I'm going with the Razorbacks as well.
Nice.
The West Virginia Mountaineers, suddenly hot. Boy, they just demolished BYU last weekend. Traveling to Norman to face OU, coming off of that that bedlam loss to Oklahoma State. Did you hear what Oklahoma State, the song they were playing on the loudspeaker at the end of the game?
You said, what was it?
Was it "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together"?
Oh, yeah, the Taylor Swift song, right?
A little salt on the wound there. A little salt on the wound.
That is pretty good.
This is an intriguing matchup. There was a part of me, Darren, that thought about picking West Virginia because of history. But OU coming off a loss to Kansas, a loss to Oklahoma State, I have a hard time believing that they're going to drop. This would be, what, the third in a row?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a hard time believing that. So I'm going to go with the Sooners here.
The exact same thought process. I agree 100%. They will not drop three in a row. This is an Oklahoma win.
The seventh-ranked Texas Longhorns, possibly with starting quarterback Quinn Ewers back under center, we're waiting to see that, travel just down the road to Fort Worth to face the TCU Horned Frogs. Yeah.
Well, now remember, TCU, as of last year, is the new dominant force in the Big 12. Right? Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think Texas. I have to say, I think we agree on this one. Exactly. Texas.
The 10th ranked Ole Miss Rebels coming off of a win against Jimbo and A&M, which Lane Kiffin savored immensely.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious. Travel to Athens to face the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs, where an upstart Kentucky team thought they had a chance and left with a loss. An upstart Missouri Tiger team thought they had a chance, left with a loss. Is it going to be any different for Ole Miss, Darren?
I want so bad to buy into what Ole Miss has been doing the last couple of weeks. But like we talked about with the Alabama game, and again, heard it on a podcast, not my original term, my fear in picking Ole Miss to win this game is short and simple. Will Lane Wiffen reappear? And I can't overcome that. Everything in me says when you look at the way Ole Miss is playing, especially with the return of Quinshon Judkins, there is something there. But a lot of people, just like you pointed out, have thought that when they rolled in to play Georgia, with it being in Athens, that just seals the deal. An upset would be incredible to watch, strictly for the drama of it, but it's not this week. I think this is a Georgia win. How about you, Ben?
I said I wasn't going to pick against Kirby Smart again, but as we look at the list of games for this week, you got to pick an upset pick somewhere.
Very true.
Ole Miss underperformed against Alabama big time.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin, it is time to take Ole Miss to the next level. And you're going to have to go into, you didn't do it in Tuscaloosa. Nope. Now you're going to Athens. You're going to have to go into Athens. You're going to have to pull out a win. So Lane, Coach Kiffin, I'm backing you on this one. All right. Billy Napier let me down. Brian Kelly broke my heart. Please treat me better like them than them. I'm asking you, please. I'm going to go with Ole Miss, and I'm not sure why, but I'm going with them.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. If you get it wrong, just like we've talked about before, everybody goes, why would you make that pick? But if you get it right, I mean, what a good call to make. It's a good one to call. So
I stand on that line way too much. The Florida Gators coming off of a very disappointing loss to Arkansas, the first time that Arkansas has ever won in the Swamp. Travel to Baton Rouge to face 18th-ranked LSU coming off of that heartbreaking loss to Alabama. Jaden Daniels is day-to-day. Looks like he's going to play, but we'll wait and see as the week goes on. Darren, who are you picking?
I think I might see it a little bit different and give a little bit more pause to say, okay, is this kind of a wake-up moment for Florida if it were going to be in Gainesville? But Tigers come rolling back into Baton Rouge with Death Valley behind them against a team that's already taken a severe gut punch in the loss to Arkansas. I don't see how it happens. This, to me, this is going to be a very clear LSU win. It might even get ugly. I don't know that it gets ugly, but I think LSU, especially with Jaden Daniels back, if that is the case, this is going to be a dominant performance by LSU. What about you, Ben?
Go Tigers.
Well said. Well said.
Mississippi State, in the throes of a disappointing season, is traveling to College Station to face Texas A&M, which, again, under Jimbo Fisher, is not meeting expectations this year. Who do you choose in this one?
A&M has at least showed that they could score. You know, Mike Wright, for all intents and purposes, from everything we know, is going to be the Mississippi State quarterback again this week. And, man, the guy can run and he can do things with his feet. And all of that's awesome. But you got to be able to throw the football. And he just struggles. And this is an A&M win. How about you?
I think A&M wins. And I wouldn't be surprised if they pile it on. It's going to be a game where they can let out all their frustration.
Yep. Great point. Great point.
Remember to join our weekly sports pick'em, Brew and Shavers pick'em. Go to CBS Sports, College Football Pick'em. Look for Brew and Shavers pick'em. Our password's right there on the screen. Pick'em 1234 exclamation point. Darren, I believe that takes us to four down territory.
You're in four down territory.
Darren, let's start with our sure thing picks of the week. What's yours?
I am going to go with LSU. Like I said, I think this has the potential to get ugly. So this seems to be a very sure thing. How about you, Ben?
I'm going to go with Arkansas. I like how things seem to be turning, and this is going to be evidence that maybe Coach Sam Pittman has righted the ship. And so I'm going to go with the Razorbacks.
I hope that's right. I sure want to see him stay around for a few more years.
How about your upset pick?
Well, like I said, if you're gonna call Missouri over Tennessee, like I've been saying the last few weeks, I guess stick with it. That's the one I'm going to stick with. How about you, Ben?
I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
All right. Going to be a great pick.
Maybe. How about your brown bag?
I don't mean to pick on our armed forces. I have been so impressed with what Air Force has been doing this season, being undefeated. At the same time, I don't care who your opponent is. If they come into a game where they're playing you as an undefeated team and they just got beat by 45 points, you cannot lose that game. And Army pulled off the upset. Man, good for Army. It was awesome to see. But Air Force, no way. Man, that's a brown bag moment. You got to win that game if you come into it undefeated. How about you, Ben? What's your brown bag?
We've been here before, Darren. And I didn't think we'd be back here this season, because Coach Brian Kelly told me the defense was getting better. In fact, he told all of us that. He's seen marked. He'd seen great strides, not great. I don't know what the word was, but progress. Well, let's talk about that defense. In the three losses, most recently to Alabama, this defense has given up over 47 points a game. As far as third down conversions, stopping the other team, the other team converts third downs at least 66% of the time. That puts LSU last in the SEC in terms of defense on third downs. Vanderbilt is better than LSU in that situation. That puts LSU 125th out of 133 programs nationally. LSU in those three losses has only forced a single turnover, only registered two quarterback sacks, and gives up on average 569 yards a game. I'm not sure what's happening with a team loaded with talent, but obviously the defensive philosophy, the scheme, is not clicking.
Right.
And how many times did we have to watch Jalen Milroe run with the ball, and we kept saying, why doesn't LSU put a spy on him? Well, Coach Kelly addressed that in a press conference today. He felt like their front guys would be able to keep Milroe in the pocket.
Well,
didn't happen.
Exactly.
And you would think after he does it twice, you might put a spy on him. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's making the decisions and why they're making the decisions they are. But I know that LSU has talent on the defensive side of the ball. For some reason, things are not clicking. So they, again, are my brown bag pick of the week. And it hurts me.
But great stats. I mean, you can't argue it. That's for sure.
Well, let's move on to the always entertaining post-game quote of the week. What do you have for us, Darren?
Well, during the Georgia game, Georgia defensive lineman, last name is Stackhouse, Zaire Stackhouse, went blank there for just a moment, just had the quarterback throw the ball directly into his hands. And so we've got kind of a double post-game quote. We've got his reaction to what happened during the play, and then also Kirby Smart's reaction to the watching the play develop.
So unreal, you know. I was just making sure he didn't pump fake me because I wanted to bat the ball, and he threw it right in my hands. And he's like, it's like it's a dream come true for a defensive lineman. And you know, obviously I didn't score the touchdown. And my legs get really heavy. You know, it's exciting for the first couple of seconds, and then you know when you're on that stride and your body starts saying, I don't think you're going to get it, you might as well just tuck the ball in.
We just left.
Man.
What you saw on that play and how important it was.
Huge, biggest play in the game. It was
slow motion. We told him after the game we had to get the piano off his back because he said he took out and he just knew he was going to score and he didn't realize how far he had to run and he was out of breath about halfway.
What a great moment, though. What a great moment.
Absolutely. To me, the most fun part of that is when the defensive lineman Stackhouse says, you get excited and then you start running and your legs get heavy. You know, you're not going to make it. You know, that's not a level of, extended. You know, everything defensive is 4 seconds, especially if you're an old lineman. You know, you're giving it everything you got for 4 seconds. So he probably ran with everything he had for about 4 seconds. And it was like, okay, now what? I don't know that I have an additional 4 seconds.
He'll remember that the rest of his life, though.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic for him, for sure.
Thank you for watching this episode. Remember to go online and make your picks for this week. Subscribe to us, like, comment, follow us on YouTube. And also, if you prefer to listen, we're on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes come out every Tuesday. They drop at 6 a.m. and they're available for you to listen or watch at your convenience. We appreciate you so much for coming along with us on this ride. And until next week, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is so important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or a text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.